Feeling stuck by a tough life decision? Wondering how to navigate career and leadership changes without chaos? Welcome to Problem Solved, the podcast where we cut through the confusion and turn uncertainty into action. I'm your host, Cheryl Strauss Einhorn, and I'm here to empower you with a powerful tool, the AREA Method. Forget overwhelm, forget endless Googling, get ready to make confident, well-researched decisions that take charge of your life. Whether it's finding the perfect college, the ideal career path, or the best care for your loved ones. This isn't just about theory. Here we'll tackle real-world scenarios, dive into inspiring stories, and equip you with actionable steps. So buckle up, listeners, because it's time to say goodbye to indecision and hello to solutions.
Hello, I'm so excited today for our latest episode of the Problem Solved podcast. We try to bring you all sorts of different voices on things related to decision making. Today's guest is really important because for too long we've thought of decision making as a solo event, but really to holistically solve our problems, we need to involve other people. And that means, importantly, that we need empathy. And so we have a world-class expert with us today, Sharon Steed, who is a keynote speaker, author, and founder of Communalog, a corporate empathy and communications consultancy. Sharon is a subject matter expert on empathy at work. She's spoken at companies around the world, and she is trying to help to improve team communication and collaboration through engaging with empathy. She has a TEDx talk on the topic. Sharon is a lifelong stutterer, and she uses her speech impediment to both teach what empathy is and inspire audiences to engage in empathy actions daily. She's an author and a course instructor. She has an ebook called Empathy at Work. She has a course, Communicating with Empathy, on LinkedIn that has over 800,000 views. Sharon, we are thrilled to have you here today.
Hi. I am so excited to be here to talk to you today as well, Cheryl.
Thank you. So given that the podcast is titled Problem Solved, we usually start by asking guests why problem solving and decision making are important.
I mean, I feel like everything like that we are doing in our lives is essentially a problem that is going to have to be solved, right? I mean, even something as simple as the clothes I'm going to put on that day, or what I'm going to be eating for breakfast or for dinner, or the kind of coffee that I'm going to drink. And so, you know, I think the whole process of attempting to solve problems is a thing that, you know, we all just need to be comfortable and confident with, because we're constantly attempting to find solutions to everyday problems.
Beautifully said. Can you start telling us a bit about your background and the journey that led you to focus on vulnerability, on resilience, and empathy in leadership?
Of course. Yeah. So I'm a person who stutters, and I had sort of come to this point in my life where I was so terrified of talking, like that I would just take myself out of potential situations where, you know, I was going to have to carry the conversation. And so, you know, it was beginning to really impact just every aspect and, you know, every area of my life. And professionally, I mean, like, I had come to this point where I was really at a crossroads, right? You know, like I wanted to really create a career like that I could be passionate about and like be successful at, like, but stuttering was really holding me back. And so I decided like that the only way to really overcome, you know, like this fear of talking was to pace it. And so I began to pursue like public speaking as a way to just get more comfortable, like with this whole idea of, you know, talking and being a stutterer. And that somehow just turned into, you know, like me giving talks about, you know, like being vulnerable and just being a little bit more understanding of people who are coming from, you know, just like different perspectives and, you know, who are trying to work through their own, you know, insecurities and their own vulnerabilities. And so as I was giving, you know, like these talks at different conferences, I began to be invited to come into companies and just facilitate conversations around, you know, how like being vulnerable and, you know, empowering our insecurities can actually encourage us to be better communicators and, you know, like how that communication like can really improve collaboration. And like all of those topics, like if you really think about it, they all sort of fall underneath like this umbrella of like just being empathetic. And so the whole career of a empathy consulting was kind of created just for me as a result of that process.
Well, it's incredibly brave, and I'm sure that it's taken so much effort, but you bring this this beautiful message with your full self, Sharon. And so now that you've explained a little bit about what motivated you to dive into this work, you do talk about leading with vulnerability in various contexts. So what does it mean to lead with vulnerability, and how does it impact your approach to work and relationships?
So for me personally, I feel like every time I, you know, am going into like a conference or going into a company or just even going into conversations on, you know, like podcasts or shows, you know, I am always coming in there from a place of, you know, just being incredibly vulnerable, right? Because, you know, I always have it like in the back of my mind that, you know, I am a person who stutters, and I don't ever feel confident like that I am going to be received in a positive way, right? Like there are a lot of sort of just misconceptions around stutterers, like that we aren't as intelligent, or that we're confused, or that we're forgetful. And so, you know, I sort of come into these conversations with all of that sort of hanging over my head. And so when I'm talking about leading with vulnerability, I mean, like that every step that we take is one where it is an opportunity to sort of use our vulnerabilities as a way to sort of, you know, just be a little bit more confident and just really connect with others in a more sincere sort of capacity. I think that a lot of the times, like for people who are, you know, in charge, right? You know, leaders, managers, like there's this whole idea like that we are supposed to, you know, like have all of the answers, and that we are supposed to be confident and, you know, competent all of the time. And so, you know, just us being vulnerable, especially as leaders, is going to make, like our teams and, you know, our audiences a lot more comfortable coming to us with their own, you know, sort of concerns and vulnerabilities, like themselves. And so at its core, leading with vulnerability is really encouraging transparency.
Beautifully said. Okay. Sharon, how does empathy contribute to building resilience in teams? And can you share an example of empathy that enhances team cohesion?
So empathy is all about pursuing a perspective. You know, we sort of are in this, you know, very interesting time, you know, in 2024, where division seems to be just the normal experience, right? It is very easy to find, you know, all of the reasons why we are different, you know, from other people, and to sort of focus on, you know, those differences and forming sort of alliances with those like who agree with us, like, and sort of being in competition like that those that don't. And so empathy, you know, comes into play like when we, you know, as people are forced to really, you know, come together and create, you know, services or products, or to just be successful in spite of those differences. And so a good example of that is just, you know, like teams coming together and just using, you know, those differences to really create better products. A thing that I like to talk about with my clients is that the facial recognition softwares, like for a a good amount of time, you know, like a few years, they had a really difficult time identifying faces that were of a deeper, darker skin tones. And a part of the problem is because the teams who were creating, you know, like those softwares didn't have anyone on those teams who had darker skin tones. And so it was just this cap in their creation process. And so, you know, when we are being empathetic, you know, we are using these varying perspectives to, you know, create like better products and better services that are going to, you know, serve and benefit a lot more kind of people from a lot more different walks of life.
Yes, it's definitely true that it's a great way to remind ourselves to think outside of our own perspectives. Let's talk about the inevitable disagreements and conflicts that happen. How can vulnerability and resilience be used to navigate and even benefit those kind of difficult conversations?
Yeah, I mean, you know, conflict is an inevitable situation, right? And so us as professionals, right, you know, as adults, we should just, you know, have a plan in place to, you know, like deal with conflict in a way that is going to, you know, be positive and be successful to everyone involved, right? And so, you know, when we're talking about, you know, being vulnerable, like during conflict, it really just comes down to, you know, getting to the bottom of why that conflict is, you know, so painful or, you know, like so impactful. And so, you know, like there is a benefit to really explaining the reasoning behind why that disagreement, you know, is occurring, and, you know, why, you know, like people who feel hurt and upset during the process, you know, like of these disagreements, right? And so if people like can just be a little bit more upfront about, you know, like the source of this conflict, then, you know, like being vulnerable, you know, is going to be just a little bit easier, you know, and it's going to feel safer. And, you know, as we practice, like just being transparent and, you know, like being comfortable in that vulnerability, the resilience piece is, you know, going to take care of itself.
Yes. So looking at really the root causes can help us to get past and get through disagreement and conflict. Let's now shift more into decision making. Would you share your thinking on how vulnerability plays into decision making, especially when it comes to uncertain or high stakes decisions?
So I think that people sort of go down two different paths when it comes to taking vulnerability. into account during decision making. So either people are, you know, thinking like, okay, I feel vulnerable, I am going to avoid that path, or I feel vulnerable here, so I am going to explore that more, right? So let's talk about the avoidance path, right? And I am incredibly, you know, comfortable in that path because, you know, as a stutterer, I spent a lot of times just avoiding situations and certain, you know, choices because I felt that, you know, like my vulnerability was going to, you know, like be too disruptive in order to be successful, right? And so I think that when, you know, we like use vulnerability as a way to sort of turn things down, we are coming from that place of you know, like I don't feel confident, therefore, you know, I'm not going to participate, or we feel concerned that our vulnerability is going to cause, you know, a disruption, and that other people, you know, are going to feel uncomfortable as a result of that. And so the problem with, you know, like that line of thinking is that, you know, we take ourselves out of potential situations where we could help other people, or where we could contribute, you know, an interesting or unique perspective. And so, you know, like that is going to bring us to the other sort of decision-making situation where, you know, like we see that we, you know, feel vulnerable, and then we explore that feeling, right? A lot of the times feeling vulnerable, especially in more like creative capacities or professional situations, it could be a sign like that this is a thing, like that we, you know, could, you know, have an interest in, or that we could potentially contribute a very outside of the box perspective or idea, like that could, you know, change the course of an entire project or situation. And so, you know, we, you know, as people have to determine if we are feeling vulnerable because we are afraid, or if we are feeling vulnerable because we are fascinated, like, by the possibilities. And then it's going to be a lot more interesting and fun to make a certain decision.
So you see it really then as people move toward a decision or away from a decision, in part based on how comfortable they are with discomfort. And that by leaning into that discomfort, they have an opportunity to really learn something new, do something that maybe is a little bit different, and also showcase that vulnerability so that other people can see that courage coming into the space. I think
that's— Yeah. And so I also think that, you know, courage here, you know, is a very inspiring thing for people. And it's also contagious, right? Like if your coworkers or if your friends are seeing that, you know, like you are, you know, courageous enough to show some vulnerability in a public capacity, you know, like they are going to be a little bit more encouraged to do the same. And so the domino effect could be incredibly impactful for, you know, teams, for companies, and just for, you know, friend groups and, you know, personal relationships.
Yeah, so I think what you're showing is that empathy can bring really unexpected perspectives, and that one person being vulnerable and that sort of bringing some empathy into the room can allow somebody else to be vulnerable. And so you can really therefore use empathy for creating greater inclusion. Tell us about this new course that you have on LinkedIn about AI and empathy. We were sharing before that it has so many people who have taken the course. Tell us a little bit about it so that we can hear more about how you envision AI playing a role in fostering or even challenging human soft skills like empathy and vulnerability.
Yeah, of course. So I've been doing just a few different LinkedIn lives about AI and empathy. And it has been just an incredibly eye-opening experience. So a lot of my clients and the companies like that I've worked with have been tech companies. And so I spend a lot of time around like software developers, software salespeople, and just people who have spent, you know, their careers doing things around code. And so I am a little bit comfortable like with this whole idea of, you know, technology like being a catalyst for a lot of different things. However, I don't know a ton about AI. and so, you know, I really wanted to just, you know, have conversations around how soft skills and just, you know, like being people, you know, is going to continue to, you know, be impactful and be, you know, important, you know, as AI and other technologies continue to sort of take over a lot of the roles and the sort of assignments that that, you know, we as people are doing in a lot of our jobs. And so, you know, the conversations of that I've had, you know, I talked to a person who specializes in giving presentations. And another person who is an innovation consultant. Of course, I talked to you about decision making, and a really big theme is that, you know, the only way that these AI tools, you know, are going to be successful is if we continue to, pair them with our humanity, right? You know, these AI tools are only going to give us sort of like the basic facts, right? Or, you know, like outlines or ideas or even, you know, instructions, but they are not capable of, you know, like being empathetic, right? Like they can sort of copy us, like they can sort of mirror, you know, our feelings, like, but they don't have, you know, like that sort of human experience and perspective, like that only, you know, we as people can bring to the table. And so, yeah, I'm actually going to be creating another course with LinkedIn around AI and empathy. And so, yeah, you know, I've been doing a ton of research on it, and I think it is just going to be very eye-opening and encouraging thing for a lot of people out there who seem to be a little bit intimidated by this whole idea of AI in the office.
Terrific. Okay, we will look for that. And so I know you've thought a lot about technological advances and empathy. And as you just mentioned, you're creating this course. So keeping those human values at the center, what is it that you recommend?
You know what? You know, I can only speak for, you know, myself here, but I know that AI, you know, like doesn't know how it feels to stutter. AI doesn't know how it feels to like have anxiety or to, you know, like be in traffic on your way to work. AI doesn't know how it feels to have a sick kid at home or to be a caregiver for elderly parents. And so, you know, a thing that I am kind of thinking about and, you know, talking about is that, you know, it can only, I'm sorry, that was the doorbell. Sorry about that. It can only give us, like the basics and the baseline. It can't tell us how to be better people to those who are experiencing, you know, difficult things or, you know, who are trying to be more vulnerable and empathetic. And so, you know, the biggest sort of takeaway is that we, you know, like have to continue to be people and to be humans and to bring our entire ourselves into, you know, everything like that we do.
Beautifully said. Sharon, what have I missed? What else should we be asking you? And how can people learn more about your work?
Yeah, I mean, you know, like I just want people to just take a moment and to just really, you know, hear other people out, right? I talk a lot about, you know, the key empathy behaviors, and one of those is listening and patience. And, you know, it is very challenging to, you know, like be patient in today's sort of intense climate. And so if people can just take a moment, you know, hear other people out, I think that a lot of the problems that we are facing are going to be a lot easier to be solved if we just spend a little bit of time listening to people who, you know, hold different views than us. So, yeah.
Well, Sharon, thank you. That's a beautiful message to end on. We all can be better listeners. I would think, for myself at least, almost all the time, not almost, all the time. I want to thank all of our listeners for joining us today on the Problem Solved podcast. I hope that you will subscribe to the podcast, connect with me on LinkedIn, and we will look forward to having you listen to our next episode of the Problem Solved podcast. Thank you so much, Sharon.
You're welcome. Thank you.